Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, from the WMAL WinBet Studios, O'Connor and Company.
105.9 FM, good Monday morning from the nation's capital. Thanks for tuning into O'Connor and Company today. It's 5:07 on WMAL. It's a holiday week, so if you're still in town, well, we're going to get you where you need to go this morning. If you've already left town but you can't get enough of us, I know wherever you are right now, getting ready to go to Grandma's house, you still need your morning fix of WMAL, and we appreciate that. And we'll let you know what's going on here in the nation's capital and really all around the world as the next 4 hours unfold before your eyes. Amber Athey, are you ready? Are you loaded for bear, Amber?
I'm ready to go.
All right, let's do it then. Coming up at 6:35, Trevor Maddich is going to talk about yesterday's miraculous victory. I should stop calling them miraculous victories now. Two in a row for your Washington football team. 7:05, Joe DeGenova will join us. 7:35, Matt Schlapp of CPAC. At 8:05, we're going to speak with the director of communications over there at the Washington Airports Authority, because it's going to be quite a travel week for y'all. And then at 8:35, Nick Rakita. Well, Nick's going to join us. Nick's a lawyer who's created a very popular YouTube channel. Have you seen the YouTube channels where they're covering the Rittenhouse trial and they've got like eight lawyers and they're all like sort of screaming along?
Yeah,
as
it's
it
awesome.
Goes.
Yeah, I love that.
They had over like 110,000 people watching when the verdict came in.
As they should. More. That's entertaining video.
Yeah. Nick's going to join us at 8:35, talk about Kenosha. In fact, let's start right there. The verdict came down Friday afternoon, as you know, in the Kyle Rittenhouse murder trial. Not guilty on all counts. But let's not forget how the media covered this thing going in.
Kenosha shooter Kyle Rittenhouse. He murdered two people, by the way.
Rittenhouse is basically what you would have had in a school shooter. He's a 17-year-old kid. He shouldn't have had a gun. He crossed state lines to supposedly protect property. No, he was going out to shoot people.
Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old vigilante.
By the way, full disclosure, I feel like we always need to do this. Amber and I both crossed state lines before we came to work today. I just want to make sure everybody knows.
We're liable to do anything at that point.
Michael, you crossed state lines before you got. Yeah, Michael. Did Jeff, I believe, cross state lines before he got. Everybody involved. John Matthews does our news top and bottom of the hour. He also crossed state lines before. Every single person working at WMAL today cross state lines before we.
It's unacceptable.
Well, I don't see what's so controversial about it, but I think it's important to give full disclosure to everyone involved. You know, we both work in the media, not only our role here in broadcasting on WMAL, but also writing. You at Spectator, I at Town Hall, and we've been writing our full careers here over the last decade. You don't just go out and say or write, he's a murderer. Right. I mean, it's like a basic that we learn, especially when there's a trial going on.
Yeah. And there's actually a running joke at various media outlets that I've worked at that you always throw in like five more allegedlys than
right.
you think you actually need.
Yes,
just
exactly.
To prevent yourself from getting sued.
I know. I do it almost as a joke sometimes here. It's like, you know, but allegedly, in my opinion, you know, but you should. That's important when you're delivering the news. But no, for some reason, every rule was thrown out the window when the media covered this.
Kenosha shooter, Kyle Rittenhouse. He murdered two people, by the way.
He murdered two people, by the way. Well, not really, actually. Not guilty on all counts. Here's Terry Moran of ABC News. This is one of my favorite clips of the coverage on Friday. They over at ABC News, they showed the entire verdict, of course. And
once again, not guilty on all counts.
Live coverage.
In the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. Let's bring in ABC's senior national correspondent, Terry Moran. Terry, you've been on this case from the beginning here.
Now, he's the senior national correspondent, and as you just heard, he's the go-to guy. He's the expert.
Terry, you've been on this case from the beginning here.
Been on this case from the beginning. So.
All right, so we should get really sober,
that's
rational,
right.
You know, up-to-date coverage.
Every ABC viewer right, leans great. Forward in the chair now. It's like, all right, let's go. Terry Moran, he's the expert.
Well, it's very significant, first for the community of Kenosha.
Apparently, we've just broken in for live coverage across the board, and we need Terry Moran to tell us that this is very significant.
Thank you, Terry, like, for contextualizing. Needed that.
That's
okay.
Important.
This city was
got?
Traumatized by the police killing of a black man, Jacob Blake. Then
Wait a minute.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Wait a moment. Hold on. Now, once again, just to put it in context, Terry Moran is...
Terry, you've been on this case from the beginning.
Yeah, he has absolutely been on the case from the beginning. So let's take us back here to the Black Lives Matter riots and all the things going on. And there was the police did engage with Mr. Blake there. They were called to the scene because a woman felt in danger and in danger for her children as well. Please, police, come and save me because this Blake dude is here and he's threatening me. So the cops get there. And what did they do again?
This city was traumatized by the police killing of a black man, Jacob Blake.
That is terrible. I missed that part of the story where Jacob Blake was actually killed by police.
I believe that Jacob Blake would also be very surprised to learn that all of these media outlets think that he's dead.
Can you imagine Jacob Blake is watching ABC News coverage and they're, wait a minute, what?
I died?
I mean, I knew that I was, it hurt. It took a while to recover, but... Yeah, that's ABC News covering this. But you got to laugh at it, but at the same time, this is the problem. Because the people who took to the streets in Kenosha, and thank God there was no significant violence or anything going on in Kenosha, but in Brooklyn, they started marching. They're screaming about, you know, the communist takeover. They literally did. They're screaming about taking over the country with the communist revolution. Mm-hmm. But there was, a little bit of looting in Brooklyn. In San Francisco, they decided to, you know, knock off a Nordstrom and steal Louis Vuitton bags because... You know,
justice.
Something. But if you watch this coverage and you watch how they covered this story, and that's all you saw, you would think that this is absolutely our nation. There is no law and order. There is no justice. It's all set up. So let's go steal us some Louis Vuitton bags.
It helps explain why people were rioting that night in Kenosha, that Kyle Rittenhouse was out there with his gun, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole reason they were protesting or rioting or looting was in the name of Jacob Blake, because all of these news outlets reported that police had killed another unarmed black man.
Right. And it turns out, by the way, he wasn't unarmed.
Correct.
And he wasn't killed. And again, let me reiterate, it's not like police were just driving around saying, hey, let's find a black guy and shoot him. They were called to the scene because Jacob Blake was threatening a woman and children with bodily harm, and she was asking for protection from the police, and they came and provided that protection. And yes, sometimes that means using lethal force.
And he had a history of sexual assault, I believe, as well. So, I mean, when police are coming up to a scene like that, they check this person's background.
Yep.
And they saw that he had this criminal rap sheet. And, you know, when you're walking into that situation, you're prepared for potential violence.
So what you're saying is, Amber Athey, there was a bunch of, you know, overreaction and violence and riots, all of the things that led up to Kyle Rittenhouse being in the street that night in the first place, that should have never happened. There should have never been any controversy over the shooting of Mr. Blake. There should have never been any a horrific reaction and long, hot summer and people burning down things, that because that was all based on a lie. Can we only blame the media for that, though? Or were there other players involved? Joe Biden was running for president at the time, and a big part of his narrative was that our nation was lost and racist and violent and horrible because Donald Trump had been elected. Let's listen to Joe Biden after all of this happened.
Well, look, I don't know enough to know whether that 17-year-old kid, exactly what he did. But allegedly, he's part of a militia coming out of the state of Illinois.
All right, now we need to break this one down a little bit. First of all, I love that he begins the entire statement as, I don't know enough to really comment on this. And then he goes ahead and
comments
on this.
Right.
He's part of a militia coming out of the state of Illinois. I'm pretty sure that's not true. I don't think the evidence bore that out.
Where did that even come from?
Well, it's Joe Biden. Well, it came from somebody saying, hey, if you talk about this and say these things, it's going to make people think that Donald Trump is responsible. Listen.
Have you ever heard this president say one negative thing about white supremacists? Have you ever heard it?
Actually.
Yeah.
That's the reason I got back in this race, because what happened in Charlottesville. People coming out of the woods carrying torches, their veins bulging.
That was quite the picture.
Emerging from the woods of Charlottesville, I believe, is what he's alluding to. But see, again, this is all part of the problem. This is what built up to that moment when Kyle Rittenhouse was in the street and needed to defend himself. He, yes, was found not guilty. But we need to go back and point fingers at who was guilty of misinforming the American people. the entire time and continue to do so. In a moment, we'll move on from politics and news media, and we'll talk about popular culture, actors, sporting figures, athletes who continued the misinformation and horrendous commentary on this very important story, the Kyle Rittenhouse story. By the way, coming up later in this program, we've got plenty of people to comment on it as well. So keep it here if you want the latest out of Kenosha. And, of course, we're all keeping our eyes on the tragedy in Waukesha, Wisconsin as well. And we'll give you the latest on that as it develops. But first, let's get you to work. It's 5:16. I mean, where do we start on these reactions here? I mean, we have already told you Terry Moran explaining to you that that all started with Jacob Blake being murdered by police, which never actually happened. Oh, we've got the Independent, the UK Independent. You write for a British affiliated publication there at The Spectator.
I do.
The Independent is sort of, are they to the left of The Guardian, or is it sort
That's
of?
Right.
Yeah, they're pretty liberal. They said that Kyle Rittenhouse found not guilty of shooting three black men.
Oh.
That's
news to me.
Exactly. Well, I mean, again, not that race should even matter, but clearly it does. So if you're talking about the racial angle of this story and wanting to inject race, maybe get the races right. It was a white guy who was accused of shooting three white guys. That was the bizarre thing for many people watching this, Amber, that the people's reaction, they just wanted to inject this racial element to it when everybody involved in this case were white. Theoretically, the protesters who were shot were on the side of Black Lives Matter, but I don't necessarily know if there's enough evidence to suggest that either.
I don't think that the guy who was shouting the N-word and telling people to shoot him was really that big of a fan of black people. That's just my take.
Yeah.
In fact,
in Julio Rosas's video where Rosenbaum is up, I believe he's in the face of a black man saying, shoot me, N-word, shoot me, N-word.
The big BLM guy, him.
That doesn't, but that doesn't stop the reactions coming in along racial lines. The NBA, predominantly African American Professional League, they have a social justice coalition now. By the way,
oh great,
the NBA Social Justice Coalition. Our thoughts are with those families of with the families of those whose lives were taken in this tragedy. The right to peacefully protest is a bedrock of our democracy, and the National Basketball Social Justice Coalition remains committed to preserving that right. Any forms of vigilantism in our society are unacceptable. So now this is the false narrative, the lie that was perpetrated throughout this entire thing is that he was some vigilante who picked up a gun and wanted to shoot peaceful protesters. The protesters were not peaceful, and he didn't pick up a gun. They didn't prove in any way whatsoever that there was an intent to be a vigilante and shoot anyone that was out there. He had it for self-defense, just like one of the protesters who ended up getting shot in the first place had a gun as well. No one's talking about his gun.
Yeah, and then the trial bore this out that Kyle Rittenhouse went there. He was cleaning up graffiti. He had a medical kit. He actually provided aid to several of the protesters who were injured and then, of course, was unfortunately attacked.
Before NBA coverage on ESPN, they had a roundtable of three analysts. Listen to these tapes.
This makes it, you know, even that more concerning that these acts are being proven that, like, hey, if this is what you want to do and you want to go into a crowd and you want to do this, then, you know, a judge and a jury can find you not guilty.
You can go into a crowd and do this. So, again, it's all misinformed that listen, we don't know what was in Kyle Rittenhouse's head. All we know is that what was presented at the trial. I've got to think if prosecutors had evidence that Kyle Rittenhouse grabbed his gun and had the intent of going into a crowd to start shooting people willy-nilly, they would have proven that. They would have laid that out. They would have made that case and presented that evidence. They never did.
No, they never did.
But here's the narrative.
And they even tried to present evidence from an entirely separate situation, which the judge ended up ruling inadmissible. The prosecutor tried to bring it up during the trial anyway and was summarily dressed down.
Yeah.
By the judge in front of the entire courtroom.
In fact, the only testimony there about when Kyle Rittenhouse decided to raise his weapon and pull the trigger was when he was being threatened, when Rosenbaum was lunging at him and trying to grab his gun from him, or when,
Greg Grosskreutz.
Thank you.
Gage Grosskreutz.
Literally.
That's a tongue twister.
But his testimony was when my hands were in the air, he didn't shoot at me. It wasn't until I lowered my hand with a gun in my hand and I advanced towards him that he actually shot at me. But here's ESPN letting their viewers know exactly what happened. He just went into a crowd and started shooting.
I think that just makes the tension in these situations even worse.
Park. I mean, I'm just with all the other players. I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, what we have been going through, it's just mind-boggling to me, and it's very disturbing that, you know, it's not just a gun, right? We're talking about an AK, something that is very visible.
An AK something.
He had an AK-47. He had an automatic firearm.
You don't want to grab your AK something and just start. But so if and sadly, there are some people out there who only get their current events and get their news from the commentators on ESPN before they watch an NBA game. And if that's what you're watching, you think that America just acquitted a white dude who grabbed an AK-47 and started spraying the crowd who were peacefully protesting Black Lives Matter. And this is the problem we've got right now. It's just part of the problem. In a moment, just wait till you hear what some Hollywood actors had to say. Hollywood actors, by the way, who are paid by Disney to provide family fare. And they seem pretty sympathetic towards a child rapist. We'll give you that next. It's 5:23 on WMAL. I'll let you know, going forward, we've got Matt Schlapp to comment on these proceedings at 7:35. Oh, it's 7:05. I skipped over Joe DeGeneva, legal analyst, former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. And then at 8:35, Nick Riccata, who is a very popular legal YouTuber these days, and he does law-splaining for the interwebs. I like the law-splaining for the interwebs. So we'll talk about all those legal angles. But the news media reaction to this, as well as pop culture reaction, is notable. Mark Ruffalo, he's paid a lot of money to play pretend in front of a camera. He's an actor. You know him best as Bruce Banner. I was going to say as the Hulk, but he's not the Hulk. The Hulk is actually just a little CGI thing that you see.
So he doesn't even have to do anything for that.
No, right. He does nothing for that. All he does is the very few scenes where he is Bruce Banner, which are really the boring part. I mean, it's like you're watching the Marvel movies and it's like, okay, yeah, turn into the green guy. Okay, mm-hmm. That's when it's fun, not this part. He is a big Bernie Sanders guy. He's crazy, you know, socialist for the most part. He took to Twitter, as they oft want to do. He says, "We come together to mourn the lives lost to the same racist system that devalues black lives." By the way, the B in black lives is capitalized. I always find that fascinating. Mm,
yeah, tells you a lot.
He won't capitalize the G in God, I assure you, but he will capitalize B in black lives. And devalued the lives of Anthony and JoJo. JoJo.
JoJo.
JoJo is the alias that Joseph Rosenbaum used when he was luring young teen boys into his rapist ways. Oh. JoJo, he called him. This is a Disney star. And the guy who plays Mandalorian, Pedro
Pascal.
Yeah. Same thing, mourning the lives. Joseph Rosenbaum, Anthony Huber, murdered August 25th. Mm. Rest in peace. Not murdered. I think Gina Carano got the better end of the deal on that whole Mandalorian.
Yeah, she's probably glad to be rid of all this. Although it's not really that surprising when you look at Disney's history of child abuse.
Okay, it's 5:28 on WMAL. 5:37, you're listening to O'Connor and Company, and thank you for doing so this holiday week. But, you know, listen, everyone else is taking, we're not taking a holiday, are we, Amber?
No, of course not.
We are locked in 5 days in a row. We will be here. When you're making that turkey Thursday morning, does Mama Athey make it Thursday morning, or does she do a lot of prep work Friday night?
In Thursday morning.
All right.
And then it comes out just in time for a midday dinner.
That's right. During the football game. So as Mama Athey and the rest of you are all prepping your early morning Thanksgiving turkey, we will be here to keep you company, all y'all. So make sure you keep it here all week long on WMAL. No holidays here. Coming up at 6:35, Trevor Maddich will talk about the Washington football team's big win yesterday. 7:05, Joe DeGeneva, former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. 7:35, Matt Schlapp of CPAC. 8:05, we'll talk to Christina Saul of the Washington Airports Authority to talk about your getaway holiday travel. And then at 8:35, Nick Riccata. He is a lawyer and popular legal YouTuber. Legal YouTubing is a big thing, and boy, did it explode over there on Riccata's channel there during the Rittenhouse trial, and we'll get his legal analysis as well. Lots coming out of Wisconsin right now, the Kenosha reaction, also the ongoing investigation into the deadly events at that holiday Christmas parade in Waukesha last night. So we will get the latest on that as the morning develops. But let's turn to Winsome Sears, shall we? She is your lieutenant governor-elect in Virginia, and she did some media over the week. I do like that they're putting Winsome Sears out there and doing a lot of media. She was on with Dana Bash over there at CNN. And I want you to hear a little bit of it, but let me give you a little flashback. This was last Wednesday when Amber and I had. See, here's what you need to know. Winston Sears doing CNN on Sunday. 5 days before that, she's on this program right here, right?
We're always ahead of the curve.
That's called a get in the business.
Yes.
She probably, as if we had anything to do with it. That would be Heather Hunter with the get, as usual.
The
H-bomb. But here she is. We just specifically, you asked her about, there seems to be a lot of confusion and questions about what the Youngkin vaccination policy is going to be in the Commonwealth. And there was, I believe, a little bit of a clarity on that over the weekend. Did you see that? Where Youngkin's people said,
Right, yeah. I mean, he was kind of caught saying that he wasn't going to prevent vaccine and mask mandates in localities,
right.
And then he kind
he was
of clarified.
Going to get the governor's office out of right. it and let local jurisdictions. But he actually downshifted on that, it appears.
I think he did, yeah.
We'll give you those details in a moment, but when Winston Sears was asked about it, this was her answer.
I'm still going to try to keep my privacy as much as possible because I just, you know, want to be careful that you start revealing things and before you know it, you know, government says, well, you've already revealed this part of your health. Why don't we get the rest? And then that slippery slope, you're now down the mountain. And
yep.
You want to, how did you get there?
So she doesn't want to say whether she's been vaccinated or not, because as she just said, it's a slippery slope. Because if you feel compelled, even voluntarily, to reveal private medical information, then the government can say, well, if you told us this, why can't you tell us that?
Yeah, I think it's a fair point.
Dana Bash asked her about this and other mandates in the Commonwealth.
Why is it okay to mandate childhood vaccines in Virginia for so many diseases, but not COVID?
Well, let's ask ourselves, and I'm not saying yay or nay, let's ask ourselves, if the purpose of the COVID vaccine is to prevent us from getting COVID, then why is it that those who have had COVID must get the vaccine? The one doesn't follow the other. And so, you know, there are people who, when they get COVID, they also get the monoclonal antibody therapy, and it's working. It's working very well in Florida, if you notice what's happening there. And so one size doesn't fit all. Now, I have said, get the vaccine. And then if you're not going to get the vaccine, then, you know, do what's necessary to keep yourself safe, keep other people safe.
It seems, again.
Yeah, sounds very reasonable to me.
Pretty reasonable and fair. And, hey, let's not have the government be heavy-handed and make these decisions for people. She went on.
But let me ask you this question. If you have the mask on, then why does somebody else have to wear the mask? You've got the mask. You've got the vaccine. My God, you're fully protected. You're armored. I think ultimately we have to remember that we're America. We love our freedom. We love our liberty. People are dying to get into this country so that they can do well for themselves and their families. Let's not make it like some other countries. Let's let liberty shine.
All right. There's Winston Sears. She actually had quite a bit to say with Dana Bash about critical race theory, and I want to share that in a moment. But let's just tie up this loose end on Glenn Youngkin. He gave an interview on Friday about this and was asked specifically, and I'll quote parts of the interview here. It says, let's be clear. I have three big principles. This is about vaccine mandates in the Commonwealth. One, there should be no state government mandates. Two, in fact, people should not get fired from their job for not getting the vaccine. And finally, when it comes to children, parents know best for what's right for their kids when it comes to their education and their health. And I will rescind Executive Order 18 for state employees. They'll not be mandated to wear masks or get vaccines. I'm going to hire and appoint a new health commissioner. He'll and will rescind the public health order that requires kids K through 12 education to wear a mask in order to attend public and private schools. And finally, I'll work with Attorney General Jason Meares. We're going to push back on what I believe is an unconstitutional position from Joe Biden on the federal mandate that's being pushed down. He says, we're going to respect the individual's ability to make these decisions with regards to the vaccine, and particularly with parents' ability to make decisions with regards to their children. As of now, that's Glenn Youngkin, governor-elect's position on all of this.
Okay, I think I'm pretty satisfied.
All right, well, that's all that matters, I'll be honest with you. A little bit more from Winston Sears on critical race theory. She's doing very well pushing back on the media, trying to define her and trying to gaslight all of us, all of this. And we'll share that with you in just a moment. But first, you know, if you need a new roof, it can be a pain in the butt to have to get contractors out there. But you want to. You want to get three competitive bids. That's the rule, right? And then you can make an informed decision. Do me a favor. Make sure one of those bids comes from Patrick Fingles and the team at New Look Home Design. See, they have the Goldilocks price on roofing prices. It's the price that's just right. And even better, you can trust it. See, New Look, unlike some of those other contractors, they give you line-by-line pricing. You know exactly what you're paying for. They call it TPT, Total price transparency. You can trust it down to the exact square footage. That's why Meredith and I chose New Look for our home, and you should too. In fact, when you do, right now, with New Look, you're going to save 50% on all roofing materials, and you'll get 0% financing for qualified homeowners. Oh, and remember those two other contractors you had out to give you a bid, those sad sacks? Well, here's the thing. If New Look is out there, they're going to beat any qualified contractor's price. So sure, have them come out and waste their time and then go with New Look because they've got the best price and the best quality and the best service. See how that works? Give New Look a call, 800-279-5300, or go to newlookhomedesign.com.
President Trump's big rally will happen soon, and Newsmax is the only major cable news channel to air it live. Get from Newsmax the info on Trump's rally and his big announcement. Text the word LOOK to 39747. That's LOOK to 39747 and get Trump news. Bypass the big media and get the real news from Newsmax. Join the Trump list today. All you have to do is text LOOK to 39747 now. And make sure you tune in to Newsmax, now America's fourth largest cable news channel. Find it on all the major cable systems. And if your cable system doesn't carry Newsmax, well, call them and let them know that you can switch. Tens of millions of Americans go each day to Newsmax.com and watch Newsmax TV. Be one and get the news you can really trust. Find out about the Trump announcement and get the latest from Newsmax now. Text LOOK to 39747.
Talking about critical race theory a lot, and, you know, I'm told that it's the new N-word.
Was that right?
Oh, yeah. When we talk about critical race theory, it's just a dog whistle for the N-word. That's the latest out of the mainstream media. Dana Bash, she did this whole thing with Winsome Sears where she says, you know, well, you know, critical race theory was a big part of this campaign when you won the election in Virginia. Critical race theory, of course, which is not on the curriculum. So they just throw that out there.
Yeah.
They always throw that out there.
As a little parenthetical.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Which, by the way, of course, is not on the curriculum in Virginia. Listen to Winsome Sears.
Of education. So explain how you think race should be taught in Virginia public schools.
Well, let me back up. I beg to differ that CRT is not taught.
I didn't say that. I just said it's not in the curriculum, just to be clear.
By the way, real fast here. I didn't say it wasn't taught. I said it wasn't in the curriculum.
Okay.
So, number one, are you admitting that they're teaching things that aren't in the curriculum? Which, by the way, is a bit of a problem because we parents should be able to see what's in the curriculum. If they're teaching things outside the curriculum, that's a problem. But secondly, aren't they the same thing?
Yeah.
It's in the curriculum. They're just not teaching it. Or the other way around.
No. It is part of the curriculum. It's weaved in and out of the curriculum. In fact, in 2015, former governor, who was just defeated, McAuliffe, his state board of education information on how to teach it. So it's weaved in.
That's right. We know that because you listen to this program. Apparently, Winsome Sears does as well. That's why we know that. So here's it's the same thing. It's not in the curriculum. They're not teaching it. They're not teaching. Well, but they are, even if there isn't a critical race theory 101 kind of class, right? It's part of the language of how they teach.
Right. And they're training teachers how to inject critical race theory into their curriculum by teaching them, as you said, the language and some of the principles, and they're using that in their historical education.
Here's a perfect example. MSNBC did a segment on the true origins of Thanksgiving. Now, that was ostensibly what was in the rundown. I'm sure when the producer said, hey, let's just do the segment, and we got somebody who's going to do a editorial and a monologue, and they're to talk about the origins of Thanksgiving. Well, I look at this segment and I say, oh, well, this is critical race theory. Mm-hmm. They're injecting critical race theory into their programming. Now, they would never, no one mentions the words critical race theory, but listen to how they talk about the origins of Thanksgiving.
With Thanksgiving right around the corner, I wanted to turn the mic over to Cross Connection favorite and my friend Yassi Ross for this week's essay and his take on the real story of Thanksgiving and some history you probably never read in your school books.
See, it's an essay, Amber. And it's just, it's Giassi Ross's take on Thanksgiving. Now, first of all, let's just pause here for a moment. If this is history, why do you have to say it's an essay, which suggests it's an editorial, and it's his take? History is history, right? So what do you mean his take?
Well, unless you're Nicole Hannah-Jones, right?
Right. Which also, by the way, is in the curriculum, the 1619 Project. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's hear Giassi Ross's take on Thanksgiving, which we're told is history. In fact, the Chiron on MSNBC, the real history of Thanksgiving in America. So that's pretty definitive.
Okay.
This is it. This is the actual history.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. Netanyahu Umakumsuka. My name is Jossie Ross. I come from the Amskapi Pagani Nation.
Okay.
The mythology of Thanksgiving closely mirrors the mythology of America.
Mm.
That mythology is the image that white Americans love to see of themselves. White settlers come to a strange land in good faith, bringing something of great value that enriches the people who are already here. The natives also bring something of immense value. Equal exchange. That closely mimics the mythology of white America. It is how America wants to see itself.
So it's a mythology that white settlers from Europe brought anything of value to the thriving metropolis of North America that they discovered here. That's
real history.
That's the real history.
The real history.
The real history.
All right.
The truth, of course, of Thanksgiving is much different.
Ah.
The truth is pilgrims did not bring turkey, sweet potato pie, or cranberries to Thanksgiving.
Wait. So now, listen, I understand that there is sort of a romanticized version of mm-hmm. the first Thanksgiving in Massachusetts and all that. But is there any child growing up in America who learns about Thanksgiving in the way that we have all taught Thanksgiving for hundreds of years that think that the pilgrims brought turkey? That the whole point is...
That doesn't square with me.
No. They feasted on the indigenous foods that were here, including turkey, including maize.
Corn, right.
The whole story, if they want to call it a mythology, fine, but nobody ever thinks that on the Mayflower they had these, you know, yams down there in the stores or corn or turkeys. They call that a straw man in the business, mm-hmm. right? That are a false premise.
They could not. They were broke. Mm. They were broken. Their hands were out. They were begging. They brought nothing of value. But they got fed. They got schooled. Thanksgiving.
Well, they did bring literacy and Christianity. I don't want to digress.
It makes sense. There is much for white Americans to be thankful for. But I'm still trying to figure out what indigenous people received of value. Instead of bringing stuffing and biscuits, those settlers brought genocide and violence. That genocide and violence is still on the menu, as state-sponsored violence against Native and Black Americans is commonplace.
That's the real history of Thanksgiving on MSNBC. But nobody says, hey, you know, let's do a critical race theory thing here. That's a perfect example.
That's a perfect example.
100% critical race theory. Yeah,
rewriting of history, making it about race. Seems pretty critical race theory to me.
The important thing is, as you're prepping and going to the grocery store to get ready for your Thanksgiving dinner this Thursday, make sure you have enough genocide and violence on the menu. It's 5:53. All right, Amber Athey, coming up in the next hour, we're going to touch base with Trevor Matich. And did you watch the Washington football team yesterday?
Well, I'm a Ravens fan, so I was occupied.
They won, too. But Washington, well, it's a second win in a row against a quality team, this time the Carolina mm-hmm. Panthers in Charlotte, North Carolina, against Cam Edwards. Ballyhooed return of Cam Newton. Cam Edwards is our friend over at BearingArms.com.
Yeah, I didn't
know
he had
Cam Edwards head quarterback the Panthers, that would have been another story. We'll talk to Trevor Matich. We're also, in a moment, going to give you the latest out of the tragic events yesterday in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Keep it here on O'Connor and Company.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.